B-Pod Studios.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the practice field. Training camp coverage is sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome into this Tuesday edition of Zolak and Bertrand with Beadle, Hardy, and McTakey. We're here in Foxborough for Patriots training camp once again today as the Patriots put the pads on today. It gets real today, this hour of training camp coverage brought to you by Roach Brothers here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hi, Hardy.
How you doing, Beadle?
Good.
You thought it would be cooler here today?
I thought the weather would be a little cooler here today.
The air is very still.
No breeze.
The crowd is very still.
Look at how dead.
The crowd is intensely focused on the work being done on the field. But waiting for something to happen.
Look at the dead flags on the goalposts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's about as dead as they can be. The Patriots have put the full equipment on today, and they're working through individual drills at the moment. So we'll see them obviously get some real work in at some point during this practice today, which I think everyone has been waiting for.
Yes.
Because that's when it looks like football.
Feels like football. I mean, there's something cool about that first couple of days. You know, you see out there, and it's like, all right, there's some passes being thrown, a few being caught. But after a couple of days, like, it's not really quite football. These are walkthroughs. These are glorified walkthroughs.
We're just counting the yards that Cam Newton just threw a football. The air distance of that one was about 50 yards. And Mac Jones just had one. I have to count quickly, see where he was.
Yeah, probably about 50,
55.
About
there.
50, yeah.
About 55. Working on the deep ball, and we haven't seen that. We haven't seen them push the ball down the field very much in this camp other than a couple of throws yesterday. So we'll have our eye on what's happening on the field, and we'll update you as the day goes on and let you know what's happening here at Patriots training camp and how everybody looks to this point. There are referees here in camp today as well. NFL refs, including Cleet Blakeman,
oh, nice,
are here today.
All right.
So we could see some real, you know, real action that resembles something close to a scrimmage.
God, I hope they don't do video replay because that just takes forever.
Oh,
it just makes the practice
everything.
It makes the practice last longer.
Halts everything.
Coaches' challenges. Oh, worst.
Hope Bill put his hanky in his sock today.
No,
he needs to this year.
Keep the red flag in the sock today, Bill.
Can we talk about something we did not discuss yesterday? And I was not aware of what time the news had broken on Friday, but the news on David Krejci leaving the Bruins happened during this show.
Nutty. Absolutely nutty. And again, this was a real possibility, but based on everything that we had heard and have been talking about, well, there's no timeline on it, and I thought it was going to drag out. I really thought this was going to go at least a couple few more weeks, and if you asked me to predict, I would have said, ah, he'll be back. He'll go another year. He's gonna stay with this crew, and they, you know, maybe figured out some help for him on the second line, and I think he'll be back. But to go ahead with this plan, which always sounds yeah, you love the Graduate, right?
Yes.
To go through this plan, Ben, sounds a little half baked. Oh no, it's fully baked. David Krejci has a fully baked plan to go play in the Czech Republic, and his kids were born here, have only known here, have only known life in Boston and the U.S. He's like, nope, we're going to the Czech Republic so he can be around family, learn the language, and spend some time growing up there. Which
could he do that next year?
he could do it whenever he wants.
And I'm not saying that to be a wise ass.
Could
he do it next year? Could he do it 2 years from now?
And I understand. I sound like an ugly American. And look,
No, you don't.
I've
you don't.
I've moved around, and I'm, you know, three cities and almost 30 years removed, 25 anyway, 25 years removed from where I quote unquote grew up.
Yeah.
But I
have that burning desire to get back to Detroit with your kids because they've never known it.
And it's not like
that. Obviously, that's not a comparison.
You know what? Here's why I wouldn't do it. I'm like, that would be a huge shock for them. I don't want to put them through that. David Krejci is like, no, let's go. We're not going from Boston to Detroit. We're going from Boston to the Czech Republic, and I want to play hockey there in front of my friends and family. I want to be able to play in front of my parents and my brother.
A second-rate league.
And play and hockey there and have my kids spend time there, to which I say, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. And the money must be right. And this is what he said he wanted to do. It just, it really, really surprised me when it happened.
So I would say you don't sound like an ugly American because you're talking from the perspective of being in the country where the best hockey league in the world is.
There's that.
It's in the United States and Canada. That is where the best hockey in the world is played at the highest level with the most money. That would be the NHL. And so, it's not unreasonable to ask that question of, you couldn't have waited a year, you couldn't have waited 2 years. And I understand his desire to want to go home. I get that. I totally understand it. But I also, this is why I'm sort of questioning all of this. Free agency opened on Wednesday, and the Bruins couldn't get their answer until Friday?
Yes.
7 weeks after the season ended?
Yeah.
Why? Why do you think that was? Why do we think that we found out on the Friday, after free agency had opened 48 hours prior, that was when David Krejci made his decision? Do you think he didn't make that decision a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, or a month ago, or, hell, even 6 months ago, considering he had already started to talk about it when the Bruins were still playing? When do you think that decision had been made? And it tells me that something had to have happened in the 48 hours between free agency opening and him making that decision on Friday. And my guess is he was waiting to see if the Bruins offer got better, that if the money got better. Because if they got to free agency and weren't able to replace him, or we're seeing the prices being paid in free agency, maybe his offer would have been better, and the decision would be, oh, this is a no-brainer. I'm staying and playing for the Bruins because they're offering me real money to do it. I don't want to go to another NHL team. I do want to go back home, but I'm staying if the money is good. I can go to the Czech next year. I can go in 2 years. 24 months from now, the same situation could play out where I move back and play in front of my friends, family, and my kids get to live there. That could all happen at some point in the near future. The next couple of years is the near future. So he waited to see if the offer got better. He didn't make the decision on Friday morning. He didn't wake up on Friday and say, you know what? Life-altering decision. I'm picking up my family and going home. He'd been talking about it for months. He had been thinking about it probably more intently since the season had ended 7 weeks ago. So it was about money at the end of the day. It wasn't strictly of course he has the desire to go home. Everyone understands that.
And I don't know.
But don't tell me he made the decision on Friday.
No, and I don't know that, you know, with the best money and the best competition and all that. Competition, I would agree with you, it's the NHL. Money-wise, I don't know what he's making in the Czech Republic. I don't know what the deal is going to be.
Oh, I would almost guarantee it's got to be less.
But other guys now, like when Ilya Kovalchuk left to go play in Russia, he made more.
Star player, right? And then the KHL is huge too.
And like, I don't know how things work in the Czech Republic. We all kind of assume that when Kovalchuk went to Russia, it's like, all right, he's going there not only for the extra money, but...
Oh, God, you know what the average salary in that league is?
What?
$2,200 U.S. per month.
Come on. So for Kovalchuk, though, it's
best players, the best players reportedly sign contracts for more than $5,000 U.S. per month.
Oh, my God.
Plus, most teams cover accommodation expenses for their players during the season.
Well, it's the benefits.
They're going to rent them an apartment.
You know, when Kovalchuk went to Russia, maybe they gave him a couple of oil fields and said, you know, in addition to this huge salary, I don't know what Krejci is going to get for playing the Czech Republic. This sounds mostly, though, like a family thing. It sounds like he wants to be there, to be near his family, to have his kids be near the family that love them and have a chance to be around them more.
That's fine. I have no problem with him wanting those things. I can totally understand that desire to want to go home. Who doesn't want to go home? Right? I get it. Fine. It's great. I'm just saying that don't tell me you made that decision on Friday. The decision was not entirely about going home. It was you wanted to do this. It's something you were looking to do. But you would have been staying in Boston for the right price. And that's why you waited around for 2 days after free agency opened. That's why the door was open. Because the Bruins had made their offer. And David Krejci had rejected it and was going to sit by the phone and see if it got better once free agency began. And the Bruins did or didn't find a way to replace him.
It's got to factor into it. He was just waiting to see what they did. And it's tough to believe that the Bruins didn't know that this was going to happen. But if they did know, you know, what's with putting it off? What's with waiting? So I think your explanation is plausible and probably ultimately correct. He was waiting to see what happened, waiting to see what the offer was like from the Bruins. And when it finally came down to it, he said, nah, for that amount of money, I'd rather go home. I'd rather go do what I want to do. It's not enough to make me want to stay and play. And that's where he is. So he's off. And immediately we started taking the calls when this went down on Friday, Beetle, about who can center that second line.
I was looking at a different Czech league on Wikipedia. Now I have to dig into this Wikipedia entry for the salaries.
Okay.
That's what I have to do.
You were looking at the wrong league?
Yeah, I was looking at the first Czech Republic league. He's in Czech Extraliga. Yeah.
Oh, I could have told you that.
Yeah.
Why didn't you say so in the first place?
I got to find out the salaries in this league.
All right.
I want to know what he's going to make over there. But honestly, it doesn't matter. And I don't think that's going to be one of the big factors. The factor was he waited and waited and waited to see if the Bruins were going to pay more, and they didn't. Which is why 2 days after free agency, he suddenly arrived at his answer. He couldn't decide a week prior.
Well, they spent
He just couldn't. He was on the fence. He just couldn't make that decision. He couldn't have made it 6 months ago when he was talking about it openly.
He's waiting to see if they were going to give his money to Linus, which they gave Linus $5 million a year.
So, you know, there's also the idea that he could be back at some point. We'll talk about that. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We got other items from overnight, including NBA free agency opening, and now apparently Marcus Smart is not getting traded. Now he's here to stay. The roller coaster of Marcus Smart and other Celtics happenings on the way as well. It's Beetle and Hardy live from Foxborough, and we've got McTakey back in the Town Fair Tire Studios here on Zolak and Bertrand. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Sports Hub.
This is your home for every Patriots game. Live from training camp. Sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL. It's Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. You think he could come back at some point?
Sure.
So do I. I don't think it's going to be in the spring, though. I don't think that's the case. He would have to go through waivers. So a lot of people have said he could come back and go to the Bruins and be on a playoff run. Yeah, I don't see that happening because if his whole entire idea is to go home and live back home and be home with friends, family, and others, making less money, because I just found the salary scale.
Going home to focus on friends, faith, and family?
Yeah, friends, faith. When he's going home with his friends, faith, and family, you can't do that if all of a sudden, at the end of the season over there, which I think is like February or March, you get back on the plane and come back to Boston. That's not friends, faith, and family. That's not what's going on there.
He also wouldn't be fresh.
Well, yeah, he wouldn't be fresh, but
he's not rested. He would have been playing a whole season over there.
So what? So what? He would have been playing a whole season here.
Yeah, but the travel, it takes a lot.
I mean, what are we saying here? What are you? I don't understand that.
I'm saying, what's the point?
That he's still a good hockey player? That he's still better than what the Bruins have? He's still better than Charlie Coyle, who is now the second-line center for the Bruins? That's what I would say. He's still a better option. But he's not coming back this year. I don't see that happening. I do see the possibility of him coming back a year from now after spending a year there.
That's even
next
worse.
Summer.
You could, he could come back mid-season. Kovalchuk came back mid-season from Russia. He went back to the Devils, didn't he? Went back and forth a little bit, came back for a bit, and then he spent 5 years.
Was he under contract, though, with the Devils when he did that?
I believe, because that was part of that crazy 15-year deal that they tried to sign that gave him, like, you know, the tons of money in the first 12 years, and then the last 3 years of the deal, they paid him like $40,000.
Right, but Krejci's not under contract, so he'd have to go through waivers.
He'd probably have to go through waivers.
And he would get claimed, by the way.
Yes.
Well, that's
yes.
A drop for Nikhil Harry. Oh, man. Nikhil Harry's had a big swing here in the last couple of minutes because he went from me thinking it was him making a nice play because I couldn't see the numbers. They were tucked up under the pads.
Yeah.
And I said, quick, Hardy, I need the binoculars. I think Nikhil Harry may have just made a play. Turns out it was not Nikhil Harry.
Turns out
it was Jacoby Myers.
He went through a big swing in your mind.
In my mind.
On the field.
Therefore, in everyone's mind.
He's just every Nikhil Harry. He's always been Nikhil Harry.
I meant to check Twitter to get confirmation that it was, in fact, Jacoby Myers who made that play. Should do that. But I could see Krejci coming back next summer after a year there and feeling like a year was enough time for friends, faith, and family and language class, you know. And for Rosetta Stone with the kids?
Don't.
What? What? I just don't see it happening this year. So it's going to be Charlie Coyle as the Bruins' second-line center. You feel good about that?
No.
You better hope that Charlie Coyle was really hurt last year. And that surgery that he's having this offseason is what's going to make him the player that he should be.
I like Charlie Coyle.
Because he's a good player.
I don't think he's a suitable replacement for David Krejci.
Yeah, he's not even close to David Krejci's talent.
So, and that was the first thing, that was like the first call we got. Time for Coyle to shine. This is what he's been waiting for.
Well, he'll have better talent with him. He'll have Taylor Hall.
Yeah.
That's a huge plus for Charlie Coyle.
It's a huge plus for Charlie Coyle. It'd be a bigger plus for the Bruins if you had Krejci. And Krejci and Taylor Hall. You know, don't try to tell me things are going to be okay or as good or even better because Taylor Hall's going to be there. No, it'd be better with David Krejci there.
Of course. I won't debate that at all. I'm just saying that you do have a chance to see a better version of Charlie Coyle now healthy and also playing with Taylor Hall.
Yeah.
That I do believe in. But the idea that he's going to rise to the occasion and become David Krejci, well, no, I don't think anyone believes that. If someone's saying that, I wouldn't put a lot of stock in what they're saying. They're total Bruins fanboy, if that's what they're thinking.
A little bit of that going around, especially on a day of a departure like that. The one thing I was, and believe me, they did trickle in a little bit, the so long good riddance, you know, overrated, you know, messages. But for the most part, people are like, well, that sucks. Good for him if that's what he wants to do, and kind of saw this one coming. But you know, generally on a day like that, you'll hear a ton of, thank goodness that thing, you know, he was just holding down that second line and he wasn't that. When we talked to Chris Wagner, we talked to him about Krejci, he'd always say the same thing. It's like, you know, the guy is a great hockey player and he is not the flashiest. He's not going to give you, you know, highlight reel stuff like Pasternak is going to. He's not going to be a great two-way forward like Bergeron is. But for what he does, he's steady and he is consistent. And I think that's easy to overlook in a player like a guy who's just going to go out there and not screw up and provide you good things from time to time. Yeah, and he did have long droughts where he was off the score sheet, you know, for many nights in a row, but I never felt like David Krejci was a liability on the ice.
Never.
Never.
This practice is getting real down there, Hardy. It's getting real. I can feel it.
I'd like to see something get a little chippy now that the pads are on.
Not yet.
Too early?
It's first day. They probably won't do a ton of that.
All right.
JP in North Providence on David Krejci. JP.
Hardy, Beetle. Hey, Beetle, quick question. No Zoe. Is everything okay?
Everything is much better here today without Zoe. Things smell far better. The air is much cleaner. And I'm enjoying myself here at practice today, yes.
No, I meant at the Zolak compound. The hot water heater last month, the air conditioning unit didn't go out this today, did it? Something
Zoe decided that today, with the first day of practice in real pads, he was going to, being a football guy, he was going to celebrate by taking the day off and taking a boat ride.
Okay, as long as the microwave's working, okay.
Well, we did get a report earlier that one of those little buttons and the outlet in the bathroom got pushed in.
The reset?
It
test
tripped.
And reset?
Right. And he reset it, but he wants to make sure. So he had to drive around a little bit, and he's got an electrician maybe coming by.
He's going to plug a hair dryer in and see how long he can run it for.
Yes.
Exercise the
there
gaskets.
You go.
Yes.
Two-part Krejci question. One, is there any chance, kind of a conspiracy, that he's like Scott Boras smart, that this is old ploy to get the crowd to love him and want him back, and the Knight on the White Horse comes back and Sweeney comes back with a better offer? And the second part is, I've been married. We've all been married. How does his wife want to let him do this? It's not like Brady just moving to Tampa. New language, new culture. I see them going there, and what happens in 2 months? She hates it. She comes back. Will he then follow her back? Because that, I just don't see him staying there. I think
I love that, JP. His wife is probably an ugly American. She's going to hate it there. We would all hate it there. New language. Listen, if you marry someone from another country, and they want to go back to their country, don't you sort of have to go along with that? Is that sort of part of the possibilities of getting married to someone who is not from where you met?
I would think so.
I would think that's the case.
After they've been here for 15 years?
If that was
how long have they been together, T-Bone? I don't think it's 15 years. I don't think it's that long.
No, I know, but he's still been here.
True. But I don't know. You marry a professional athlete from another country, they're here, they're working. There's always the possibility they're going to want to spend significant time back in their home country at some point.
I saw his wife at the old Golfsmith in Watertown once.
Yeah.
And I was in there like on a random like Tuesday, Wednesday after a show, and it was a day or two after they had been eliminated from the playoffs by Montreal. So figure out whatever year that was.
Okay.
And it's me and a couple of retirees who are not there to buy anything. They're just mall walkers. You know, they're just walking the Watertown Mall.
Just like playing with the clubs a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Putting.
And testing their grip.
I'm in there being a general nuisance too, but I knew the guys in the shop, so we were cool.
Oh, okay. You know? You're a golf guy, you know?
And I see this beautiful woman walking around with, I think she had a tiny dog with her.
Oh.
I'm like, something in here does not belong, and it's her. Like, who is that? And it was my buddy Steve who was working there at the time. He goes, oh, that's Krejci. I think it was at the time his girlfriend. Yeah, he came in here to pick up some new wedges because, you know, he's got tee times now that the season is over. She is a striking figure, but did not look like she belonged at the Golfsmith in Watertown on a Thursday afternoon.
No, she was picking a few things up. That may have been N'Keal Harry making a play. I'm really rooting for him out here this week, Artie. I really am. Can't see if it's him.
Down here in the corner just now?
Nope, it was Jacoby Myers again. Man, Myers is having a day. It's hard to see with these jerseys tucked up between 15 and 16.
That was Aguilar who just caught that.
That's on the center of the field, yeah.
He dropped one down here in the corner a few minutes ago.
But... Zolak and Rentham on the line. Hi, Scott.
Well, why are you breaking my ball?
That's what we do.
I thought you were going on a boat.
I am. We're going at noon.
You're going at noon?
Noon. Out of Seaport.
Yeah. I thought you said you were going to Newton. Yeah. I thought,
no,
wow, that's an odd place to pick up.
You know what?
Taking a kayak on the Charles?
No. Ahoy. And a sailor? No, I got two engines, bro. We're going deep. Hopefully I won't mess one of the props up.
You're going deep today?
We're going deep water today. We're getting out there, Beetle.
You're looking for sharks?
No, we're actually looking for whales.
Whales. Looking for a whale. Yeah.
And I've been doing some research on this Czechoslovakian Krejci thing.
Yeah, top salary, $160,000 a year.
There ain't a lot of protein out there. Like, they don't eat much meat. They do a lot of butter, noodles, cabbage, all that kind of stuff I grew up on. You better make sure he takes the treadmills with him out there. And then you end up.
You're saying they're protein deficient in the Czech Republic?
Yeah. Yeah, they don't eat a lot of meat.
High incidence of anemia? What goes on there? How does it manifest?
I think it's part of being it's a poor country.
Oh.
So you don't eat that much meat. You just figure out a lot of pasta and butter.
McCarthy's back in the studio. McCarthy, could you Google cabbage and Czech Republic?
Yeah, I'm also going to Google the whole...
Paul, drink water. Maybe you should eat some.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to Google the economy of the Czech Republic, too. I don't think it's a poor nation at all.
Okay. All right.
I heard you earlier in your press conference that you had with the press.
Surprised Zoe didn't wish Tom Brady a happy birthday in his call today.
Did you hang up on him?
Yeah. Matt McCarthy has headlines back in the Town Fair Tire Studios. You know,
people don't understand that a day off for Zoe is in some ways a day off for us, too. I mean, you saw the video evidence of what happened here yesterday when he was sitting in between us. Mm-hmm. And
that won't happen today.
It's not going to happen today. Miss you, Zoe. Have fun. Happy birthday, Sam.
Have a great boat ride.
Happy birthday.
Hope you find a well.
Happy birthday to my favorite Zolak.
The smartest of the Zolaks. Yep. Easily.
Easily, but just, you know. Good. She's my favorite Zolak. What can I say?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're back at it after this. We head back to the Town Fair Tire Studios. Hear that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Brand on the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand at Training Camp. Sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL. It's Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's a port on a western bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors.
Little yacht rock for Zoda. Ride on out to.
Glass out there right now, according to Dennis Knudsen.
Glass on the ocean. Great day for the well watching.
Go out and look at some, find some wells.
Conditions ideal for the well watching today.
Very easy to spot the breach of the blowhole.
He's got a marine radio on that thing, in case there's any trouble.
He does?
I said I hope he does.
Oh. I thought it meant Dennis. I think Dennis has a marine radio with him at all times.
Yeah, he's got one in his back pocket. The rubber ducky antenna. What? That makes you laugh. I'll tell you, Jacoby Myers having himself a day here at Patriots camp. Kendrick Bourne with a nice catch.
Yep.
Nelson Agholor with some catches. Receivers look good in today's camp. Some special teams work happening right now. And I can tell you, Patriots getting after it. They would have blocked a couple of these punts. Doing a heck of a job down there. Good day to be out here at practice, too. For those of you who arrived, better crowd today. Like to see that. Still not the fullest of crowds, but a crowd nonetheless.
It is amazing. And, I mean, by now, I think people should know word is out. I wonder if people are, like, avoiding some crowd situations.
I think it's starting to happen again.
I think it's starting to happen a little bit.
And I know what Jim Murray has said. Big Jim has said, well, then you haven't been watching the Red Sox for the last month. And he's right. Because people have gone out and people are going to concerts and people are going to Fenway. I think it might just be something different when it's something you didn't pay for and plan ahead for.
100%.
I think that might be a big part of it.
I mean, look, when it was, and I'm not discounting the lack of Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you can go see those guys for free, you're going to go. There's inherent value there.
Yeah.
When you don't pay for something, there's a perceived lack of value in it, where it's like, I don't have to. It's not like we bought the tickets and, you know, planned the whole day around it and, you know, we're going to eat the cost. No, it's a free thing. You either show up or you don't. But it is striking that there are still, there's plenty of room out there. There's room on the hill behind the goalpost. There's room in the bleachers. So
the hill's pretty full today, though, compared to other days.
Yes.
It's one of the better days on the hill.
And I think they are purposely spacing them out on the hill, Beetle. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe
You see that? They're sort of like rows there. And maybe the people themselves just sort of did that.
I don't know.
There is. There's like 6 feet in between the rows of people. Laying
very orderly. Down.
Very orderly.
Huh.
Well, that's what we got going on here. 617-779-0985, the telephone number, if you have thoughts on David Krejci's departure. I looked up the extra Liga average salaries.
Oh, good. What'd you find?
Between 30,000 and 160,000 per year. U.S. dollars. That feels like a low amount compared to what you make in the NHL.
It's a priority for him at this point. It's what he wants to do, and he probably wants to. He probably doesn't want to go there and play and be a shell of himself. You know, he's trying to hit that sweet spot where he's still got plenty of game left, but has made enough money in the NHL to where he can go do this, play at a high level, play good hockey in front of his friends and family, and not have to worry about making the money anymore, which is refreshing. I mean, it's hard for us to wrap our heads around sometimes, but some of these guys do operate with some degree of common sense and realize that, no, I've got plenty enough to live on for the rest of my life, and the same thing for my kids, and I don't need to make another $5-6 million,
right,
when I've already made over 70 in my career. But that's not going to make or break me at this point. I can go make short money and play a high level of hockey
and do what I want to play where I want to be.
Right. Which he,
unless of course the Bruins said, we're not going to give you a pay cut, you're going to make the same money. Oh, well, in that case, I'll stay. That may have been what it was.
Be hard to buy really nice cuts of steak on that $120,000.
Have you found anything on that, by the way?
Oh, yes, yes. No, Czech men consume their weight in meat every year.
hold on, though. Is that a lot?
Is
that a lot? How much do American men consume?
So I've got
meat per year.
More statistics for you. The Czech Republic, 47th in the world in meat consumption, which doesn't seem all that high, but let's also remember they have the population of Massachusetts and Connecticut combined at about 10 million.
But wait, it's going to be per capita.
I would imagine. So that doesn't seem like a lot, but it's also, there are 300 countries in the world. So I'd say that your top 50, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you're in the upper echelon of meat eaters.
Sure are. There you go.
Just think
they're
about
carnivores.
I think I consume my weight in meat in a month.
Yeah. So what is the number for the United States? Where are we? Number one?
Please.
We have a gold medal in this.
I think three. I probably.
Who's ahead of us?
Hong Kong and Australia.
Oh, those Aussies, gotta respect them.
Yeah.
They know how to chow.
Eating kangaroos and dingoes down there. Don't think that happens.
Yeah, I probably do about 5-6 pounds meat a day. That's on that.
On a slow day.
All right. Well, so it's third. Hey, you know what, T-Bone? Ha ha ha. I'm counting the weight pre-cooked. So I have a pound of bacon every morning at breakfast. Now, when you cook it down, it's not a pound anymore, but I'm counting that as a pound.
Right.
Okay. So I have the pound of bacon.
A little ground beef on my cornflakes.
I wonder how much meat I eat in a year.
I think it's time to start keeping track. Maybe keep a diary.
Starting now.
A meat log.
American average annual meat consumption. Oh, look. There we go.
Bingo.
According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, average American consumed around 144 pounds of meat in the year 2017.
Okay. It's a good number.
So
we could get that up. You know, we would like to be number one. We'd like to overtake Hong Kong and Australia. We'd like for that. Some of the vegans are holding us back, Hardy, is what it is. That new, you know, that's becoming more and more popular to go to a vegan lifestyle.
Bringing those averages down.
That's bringing our numbers down.
Yeah, it's a problem.
I don't want to win bronze. I don't want to be Simone Biles.
No.
I want to win gold.
Applauder, Beetle. Back on the beam.
She won before she even got on the beam last night. And I think it's great that she was back. I think it's great that she competed again.
Of course it is.
Marcus Smart, according to multiple reports today, is staying with the Celtics. Is not going anywhere.
Boy, that was a wasted conversation yesterday.
That was a fast 24 hours, no? Not only that, there is a report from Mark Murphy on what he wants for a contract. Will the Celtics give it to him? Should they give it to him? We'll get to that.
Maybe not a wasted conversation yet.
Yeah, we'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Pats are back in the field. It's training camp with Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from Foxborough today. It's Beadle, Hardy, Matt McCarthy back in our Town Fair Tire Studios.
They're going to ruin that new scoreboard before we get a chance to turn the damn thing on.
They're hammering the banners back into place. There's been some work on the banners.
May I suggest screws, sir? Because I can hit a
right, right. Some sort of nut and bolt.
Why are they, using nails?
They're using landscaping spikes.
Driving railroad spikes. At some point, Robert Kraft is going to come up here to drive the golden spike, the symbolic last spike of the last Super Bowl banner, and drive that into place. Can we use something other than the sledgehammer, sir? Just until 2 o'clock.
Okay. Adam Himmelsbach and also Mark Murphy reporting that Marcus Smart is not going anywhere. Mark Murphy's tweet said, league source Marcus Smart is likely staying now that Alonzo Ball has signed in Chicago. Any roster additions will be, quote, on the margins. Mark Murphy also tweeted, as it relates to Smart, he's seeking a max extension, approximately 4 years and $80 million, same money the team doesn't want to pay Evan Fournier, and still faces a tough negotiation. Celtics are targeting 2022 free agency. I read that tweet as he wants to be paid. He wants a max contract. He wants to be extended and here with the Celtics. And the Celtics are saying, yeah, no. Yeah, why don't you play out the year? Why don't you play out the season and hit free agency?
Which to me doesn't happen often enough. In this case, I think it's more than appropriate to go that route and take your chances.
Yep. And I think that's exactly how it's going to play out. Should the Celtics give him that deal?
No.
No. I think, listen, even those fans who like Marcus Smart, do you envision the Celtics being a championship team with Marcus Smart on a max contract? Just ask yourself that question.
How many max contracts can you afford on a team?
Depends on the player.
It depends on the player,
but
agreed. If you're just looking at it, though, and believe me, Marcus Smart can absolutely be part of a championship team. He can contribute in meaningful ways and be an integral part of a winning team.
Do you want him taking up $20 million of your salary cap?
No, thank you.
No, I don't.
No.
No, I don't.
And that's not a knock on Marcus Smart. To say I don't think a guy who's worth $20 million a year isn't automatically an insult. I just think for what he does, and I don't know anyone who does it necessarily better than him, anyone who's available in terms of the I want to say the defensive versatility, Beadle, right?
Do you think he'll get that money somewhere else?
It's hard for me.
I think he will. Oh, no, I think that answer is yes. He will get that money somewhere else. He'll get he'll get a bunch of money to go elsewhere is what he will get. Just look at Terry Rozier. What did he get a year? He got big money.
Do you think any other team envisions Marcus Smart as a guy who's going to blossom into a better offensive player?
Terry Rozier was 3 years, $57 million.
Well, I wouldn't
do that
either.
Same ballpark.
I wouldn't do that either.
Almost $19 million a year.
Yeah, but somebody did. I understand your
point.
But
somebody did it because they're not capable of bringing in, you know. And listen, Terry Rozier has been really good there.
Yes, he has.
Yes, and Marcus Smart can be really good somewhere else, but.
Is
Terry Rozier winning an NBA title in Charlotte?
No.
He's not. They're not winning the championship. So there are other teams that need quality players and want to try and put the best product on the floor on a given night. But I'm sorry, like Charlotte's never going to win an NBA title. No. They're never going to come close.
In order for Marcus Smart to command that kind of money at another team is going to have to look at him and say, okay, we want you to, you know, do everything that you do defensively and be the leader and just everything you do, we love it. And I love it too. When it comes to the offense, though, I need you to give us a little bit more and be more consistent. Is he going to be able to do that? Is that his game?
No.
I don't think so either. And no. I think that's what a team is going to require of him or ask of him in order to pull the trigger on a deal like that.
The Celtics have their eyes set on bigger, better talent than Marcus Smart. They want to be better than this. And they want to change. I think they have a desire to change the group a little bit. But all of this begs another question, though, Hardy. This entire offseason, with Evan Fournier signing last night with the Knicks, he's gone. They didn't have a shot. He got paid money.
Yep.
Celtics were never in on him. So they lose Fournier. That hammers home that, well, all of that trading didn't really work out. But I look at the Celtics in this year and say, all right, so they're letting Marcus Smart play it out. He's on an expiring deal. He might be attractive as a trade piece at some point. What's the Celtics' plans for this year? For the season? They're worse now than they were at the end of the season. And they weren't all that great at the end of the season, if you were watching. Are they taking a pass on 2021?
I'm glad people aren't trying to convince me otherwise, because after Kyrie Irving left, I was told time and time again how they were going to be better. And believe me, they were in terms of win total, all right? And they did pick up a couple in that category, but when you really look at it and saw how they played in the postseason, were they a better team? Especially if Kyrie had been able to, you know, keep his head in it and play at a high level, I don't think they were. This year, I don't even think it's a debate, and they should be looking at the landscape and seeing, like, okay, if something happens just to one player on one of these other teams, be it Brooklyn or be it in Milwaukee, there's a chance. There's a chance that if we stay healthy and get a little bit better, that can be us going to the NBA Finals. They're not that far away, but you got to get better. You know that you're going to have to get better, because there exists the real possibility that Harden and Irving and Durant do all play for all of next season for Brooklyn, or are available in the playoffs. And if that happens, you don't have a chance.
Right, which is why it might be best case that the Celtics use a year to reorganize and prepare themselves for next offseason. It might, in the big picture, be the right thing for them to do. And they won't suck in the meantime. They won't be a terrible team.
They just
won't be a championship caliber team.
Is that an easier job for Brad Stevens in his first year than it would have been for Danny Ainge had he stayed?
Yeah, because Brad Stevens isn't as, I don't know if stubborn is the right word.
I think the expectations are different for a first-year GM as opposed to a guy who has been here for as long as Danny was.
By the way, let's count it as a win that he's still the GM, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? There were concerns about whether or not he'd even stick in the job. And so, as of right now, I guess just the fact that he's still here tells you, well, at least there's not another disruption to the front office at this point. But maybe taking the year to reorganize is better. But I would also say that you're asking better than Danny Ainge, easier for him. Yes, because he's brand new, so the clock has started over on expectations of the GM. But also because I don't know that he's as connected to previous moves that might have you feeling a certain way about dealing a player or letting a player walk or bringing a player. You know, there's sort of preconceived notions are thrown out. It's someone new doing the job. Ari and Newton, what do you think of this season for the Celtics?
Oh, my God, guys. All right. I mean, diehard Celtics fan. All right, diehard Celtics fan. I'm just telling you right now. I mean, I still believe in it. I believe in the Celtics. We're just going to have another year that's just going to get blown right out of our asses. It just, I mean, it's like all jokes aside.
What?
We are literally worse. We are literally a worse team than when we were last year. We have no point guard. You know, Smart, like you just said, it's not his game to perform offense. You know, I'm not even asking that question. I'm just saying it's like, I mean, Tatum and Brown, all it takes for one of them is to sprain a left toe and then the season goes right down the drain. Because even with Tatum and Brown fully healthy and let's say one of the big three in Brooklyn gets hurt, I still don't believe you have a chance because let me tell you something. We don't have a bench. There's no support gap. At least not that I'm disappointed that we didn't bring back Fournier. Not that he was like, you know, our Lord and Savior, but at least we had some shooting off coming off.
Not anymore. I mean, too much money, Ari. Too much money. Too rich. Couldn't make it work. They're worse now than they were at the end of the season.
Yep.
They're going in the wrong.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.